Thank you very much.
Yes. And I'll put this out here.
Yeah, can you find me some water?
Sure.
We can't use that skunk water that we got. That I got in that bottled water. He's at the flat.
I need to make mention that the county commission has gone into the preliminary study meeting mode this October 11th, 2011, and will be in this mode until 9 o'clock. During that time, the county commission also takes public comment. So we will actually be fairly quiet for the course of the next half hour as we go through accounts payable, minutes, etc.
Have you went through the minutes? I've seen a correction or two there.
Oh, yeah. Which line item is that?
Burnt with a high.
Yeah. I can see how that was taken that way for sure.
I'm going to run and grab a cup of coffee. Lynn, would you like some?
No, I'm good, thank you.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Dan, would you like some?
No.
Jim, would you like some? Oh, it's not here.
Lynn, did you get some rain yesterday?
Just barely sprinkled.
Well, it did.
Yeah. Did you guys?
It rained hard there at the house
really?
For just a little downburst, you know.
Mm-hmm. We need it. We're pretty dry.
Mm-hmm. The leaves all turning this morning when I come in, just overnight. They'll not be there long with it. So dry.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hot. Gosh, that's a big drop.
That late.
The day drive.
Is that Labor Day included in that, isn't it?
What? Oh. Yeah.
Just an opening here, so this person can take care of this, and then you put doors there if you wanted to, in case we wanted to have a desk set up there.
Coffee hot, sir?
There's a hole in the top.
Why, yes, I think you're right.
Did you soil your hands any, or...
Yeah, just for the record, I know. So for the rumors that you guys have started, yes, I know how to change a tire.
Actually, that is the first word that's been said about it, Mr. Stroppas.
Yes, it is. We wouldn't talk about you behind your back unless it was really behind your back.
That's true, David. You have standards. I know that. Are you one of those orange cones to put it out here?
Were you late because AAA had to come, or what?
I just wish you wouldn't take my call, so. Danny, come change my tire. Who said that?
Oh.
I had two tires showing cords. I didn't know they were that bad, so I was like, give me all four good ones. So.
We, the last winter.
Let me ask you. What would you guys prefer? We have a check that has been voided that's included in these numbers. Should I rewrite the check numbers here or just state that we're excluding the number in the motion?
However you'd like it, we'll go
along. No, I'm asking. Look,
I don't remember doing a voided check, actually. Do you remember doing a voided check?
We just know ahead of time, so in making our motion, obviously we're not going to approve this one.
Just leave the check out.
Well, we draw these lines.
You done this?
Yeah, I see. Ron's got the corrections on his. I made corrections on the sheet that I had, but he's got total corrections on his.
I saw the sales tax number.
A good way to start our day, isn't it?
Yeah. We all kind of heard that was happening.
But I've asked Ron, is that... I should have asked him. Is that September? Is that Labor Day? You know what I mean?
August. It's more of August. It has some September numbers in there, but...
How far does it reach in?
Oh, she's got that here in the bottom.
It's hard to pinpoint it. I mean, it could go as late as September 20th, technically.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just so kind of inconsistent. It's also based off the workload of those guys. If they can't get to it, they just don't get to it. It's based off our MAC. Remember that MAC board meeting we had about? They get, if it's a busy month, they just process until a certain point, and that's it.
So if it, I can tell you years ago, they told us that it was a month and a half late. You know, they're telling us now that they do it right through a couple of weeks prior to.
Yeah, if they can get. But August, if you look at our overall revenue, August is one of our biggest months. Well, no, it's not. Sorry, last month was our biggest, September. It is, what, the fourth largest month of the year?
This is mentioned here, but I've excluded the one up here, so I'll just exclude it. It automatically excludes it.
Okay, when I do that, it automatically excludes that.
Right.
Okay, I'll just do that.
Perfect.
Spending time reading this on the special session at Jeff City, what they approved that economic bill?
I didn't read it.
The House approved it.
House, a version that there's no way the Senate's going to approve. Just like what they have.
If they're correct in their assumptions, that'd be the end of it. First mention of it's when you came in.
Oh, that's funny.
Although it was just Len and I and Dan here when I left. I said, I went to get coffee. I said, Len, can I get you some coffee? Can I get you some coffee? No. I said, Jim, want some coffee? No? Okay.
Helen, I walked into Helen's sister. So do you know how to change this lab?
She asked me that when I walked in about you, and I said, well, heavens no, Javonna takes care of all that.
If it's not Javonna, it's Danny. It's friendship fees. What day are you going to, I guess it's the 27th, we're going to the MAC thing, MAC conference? I have my first meeting, it's the 27th at 5 o'clock.
I don't even have it written in here.
27th is check-in.
I've got, I also have CCAM in conjunction with, I've got a check in CCAM. our agenda is.
You may want to have Nikki give you the exact times that you need to be there, but yeah.
No discussion.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Miss Nikki. My right side is... This morning, I went through in front of my screen and deleted. Nothing happened. Then I waited half hour. Nothing happened.
Oh.
Which is...
Is that how you have been?
I mean, I did that intentionally, so uh-huh. I could watch it on my screen.
No. Don's here, no.
All right.
For
we are. No, we're done. There are no more.
But that was submitted. You got it.
I signed timesheets. I didn't think I saw that in there.
Morning, Jan.
Morning.
What's the sales tax? What's her thing?
She hasn't updated her database. We need to take him off. Well, of course, go back to that thing.
Come on.
Just hover over it. It doesn't go anywhere. It's dead. It's unplugged. It's not forwarded to anyone.
Gotcha. Thank you. Are we ready? Practicali? Morning, Linda.
Good morning.
No, Jan, not you. Did you ask? No, she's here. Okay. I was doing this in
Are we praying? That's what he said.
If you want to.
Oh, I could. I could do that.
If you want to.
She was with somebody.
Oh, okay. We'll start on that.
Then we're ready. I'd like to call this session of the Taney County Commission, October 11th, 2011, County Commission meeting to order. I'd like to call on Commissioner Straffus for the opening prayer.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Father, we thank you for the much-needed rain. Father, we ask you to be with each elected official, both at the city, county, state, and federal level, Father. You've said that if we ask for wisdom, you would freely give it, so we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for peace in every government offices throughout the country, that we can conduct business, we can get things done, and Father, we can do things that are pleasing to you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to live in a free country that we do, and we ask this all in your name. Amen.
Mr. Strahan, will you lead the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, a quick question. Did I read the sales tax report correctly?
You better read it. Just to clarify, for the month of October, we were down 9.5%. That was in line with what we've been hearing from the city of Branson. For the year, we're up still almost a half a percent, 0.48%. So that is for the October 7th reporting. So that could include part of September and most of August is what it looks like. And there's really no way to definitely find out, but that's what the report says.
But does that report indicate that we're up a half percent over what we were last year or over what was estimated in the budget? It's over what we were last year.
Over last year, over year, yeah. October traditionally is about our fourth largest month of the year from a revenue collection. So, yeah, we're still up for the year, but just barely.
Previous meeting minutes? Who has those?
Motion for approval with the correction.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated 10-3 with corrections. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Make sure there's one of the corrections here.
Yep. There you go. Accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable checks 326-219 through 326-250, 326-252 through 326-279, warrants 5500 through 5504. There were no transfers or journal entries. That's leaving out that one voided check.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Can I go ahead and repeat your motion? Sorry, sir.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 326219 through 326250 and 326252 through 326279, pointing out not approving 326251. Also approving warrants 5500, 01, 02, 03, and 04. There are no
transfers.
Journal entries or transfers. It says transfer to department for paper usage.
Oh, it is in the transfers. There is a transfer in there for paper usage. So I'll modify my motion to include the transfer that was submitted.
Modify your second, sir.
I will second.
Discussion.
So all I was going to, that's different. Oh, this is not what this is. Hold on. That's the different one. Sorry. Just say something.
One notice, we have one payment request, which we've been holding for a number of weeks, which we have the department's signature approval on, and that's included in the list of checks that are approved. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Sign that?
Yes.
Which one of you last took my
signs and stuff? Here's one. You just have to get it from there, okay?
Yeah. Benefits fair. Thank you. Mickey, are you addressing this, the benefits here?
I was just told to put it on the agenda. I mean, I can. I know we need to set a date for the benefits fair. We were told to not schedule it several weeks back. There were some things that you needed to talk to different individuals about. But in order to have our open enrollment and our benefits fair, we need a date to tell the vendors to come in.
So, Dixie, when's our benefits fair?
December the 7th.
December the 7th.
I mean, that's when everyone's coming.
That would be it, then, wouldn't it?
You have not formally made a decision on that.
Gentlemen, I would accept a motion to approve December 7th as the day that we have our benefits fair.
I know there's probably been some work put in on this, but we will have some bids that will affect that benefits fair. So I'm not ready to make a motion for that date.
And that was my question, too. And I appreciate you saying that, Mr. Commissioner Strahan. When we're right now evaluating going through different providers and haven't decided on even the process in which we're going to do that. I think we're meeting with one of the providers today during to review contracts and all that. So I guess my question is, irregardless of that process, we still need a date. Is that, I mean, your thought is no matter who the provider is, we're still going to need a benefits date to sign up.
If, in fact, we went out for bids and we did that for the insurance itself, as well as whatever insurances may at that time affect this, and I think this is the only one that's timely, how much time is needed for those bids? 4 weeks? 6 weeks?
I think we've done in the past 3 to 4 weeks is what we've done in the past. Danny, is that right?
Right.
So if we were to put together notice and in about a week or so we went out with them, we would still be timely before the December 7th date, and we would know who it is that the county has selected, is my question.
That's my question, too. Does it matter who we choose? Will everyone be able to accept the 7th, you think, Dixie? Oh, we'll have a decision before the 7th. We'll probably have a decision in November, I would think. I mean, if we go...
Do you have already dates scheduled for all the other things that pertain to the benefits fair?
Because nobody can hear them.
Dixie, Linda, do you want to come up and join us on the microphone? Those don't work. Don.
Okay, there's 114 other counties that are probably going through the same process of open enrollment as Taney County is. You kind of need to get on their calendar.
They being all the providers that we have benefits through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we did. We picked December the 7th as a tentative date, but then after a week or so ago, I thought it was a definite.
Well, if we need a motion to do that, the thing that took place in the past that I recollect was that the county commission, no fault of staff of any kind, but the county commission had some bids that they changed or switched around, and I think you had to change the date, and I was a little concerned about that. That may have been 4 or 5 years ago that this happened, or 3 to 5 anyway.
Okay.
And I don't care to go ahead and approve the date if you have everything in line. I don't know what's going to take place after the meetings today.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have I really have reservations about approving that date today. I'd rather put it on there for next week.
Could we wait another week?
Sure.
My thinking is on that, and certainly we can wait till next week, but I'm hopeful that today when we go through executive session, we'll make the decisions if, in fact, we're going to go to an open bid process to do that and to do it immediately. And the sooner that we can establish a deadline for that benefits fair, we can establish an earlier deadline to conclude when we're going to make a decision about how we're going to accept bids, who we're going to accept bids from, et cetera, if, in fact, we choose to go that way. At least I would like to tentatively state, as you have said, mm-hmm. that we're going to have that date. We have to get those people, as she said, on the calendar. We won't get them here.
Mm-hmm. Another thing we have to make available is the building down there, because Jimmy a lot of times has training, and so we're trying to work around that also. So that kind of where we want to have it is downstairs, and a lot of times they have training or something else going on, so we want to make sure that. But another thing is that even though the medical or whatever it is, you know, everything else can be go ahead and we could have a benefits fair and get those in place. The only thing that's going to matter with the medical is going to be our flexible spending. And that kind of, we want to push that when we do our medical, because employees then know how much their deductibles is or how much they may be out of pocket for the next year on their deductibles and different things. So those two have to go together. The rest of it, we could go ahead and do a benefits fair, and if the, you know, if push comes to push, we could push the enrollment for the medical, if anything would change, could be pushed to maybe later in December. Well, that would be one vendor we're messing with instead of 10 or 12.
Okay.
20.
I'm comfortable setting the 7th, with knowing that it's not just the one provider. There's
and
nine other ones.
On me, because I've got the December's crazy month for me, and getting everything in for 2012 is going to be fun.
What do you think, Dan?
I can go ahead and set it for then, and I've got some concerns, but I'll discuss them.
Well, we'll just have to work. I had the same reservations. I'll motion to set the benefits fair for December 7th.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to establish December 7th as the date for the benefits fair discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Ladies, you'll pick the time, which you've probably already done, the location, and you'll handle all of that for us. Oh, well, thank you. Monthly budget report. Mr. Finley.
Guys, I always send this out to you by email, and I hope you got that. I want to just give you a chance to ask questions if you have any.
You sent it out last Monday and Tuesday, it looks like. I think is when we got our
question I have that we have chatted about is at the beginning of the year in the budget, we established a line item for those employees who would be retiring so that a portion of their salaries would be taken out of that line item. I don't see that.
Ron, I would guess, and I don't know, we can look at that. I thought that the agreement was that when we got to the point where those people needed to come out of a different line, that we would take them out of a different line. But we can change that if you
let
want
me,
us
let me,
to.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I know there was money budgeted there, and we can, you know.
Here was what specifically, at least my understanding, was of that. John Doe was going to retire April 1. We went ahead and only budgeted for the sheriff zero. within his budget, and we put John Doe's salary and so forth under another line. And that salary was to be paid, or and then the record to reflect that it had been pulled from that line. The reason was we told the different elected officials and department heads, this will not be reflected in your budget. We agree that there are going to be people that are going to retire early. We're going to budget it differently. We're going to take it from your budget so that you won't be over budget at the end of the year. On the other side of the coin, it's so that at the end of the year, their budget won't be higher so that the public sees, oh, they're cutting their budget again, when in reality, we took care of that this past January.
And the dilemma was that we had paid all of those people several times, so it would be an, it would be a matter of going back and changing the transactions that already been recorded and accounted for there. We can do that if we need to, or we can, an easier way might be to do is figure up how much that amounted to and take some of those people that are being paid now from that amount.
From that line?
Yeah, from that line.
Go ahead, sir.
That was date specific when we did that. There, those people that were retiring that passed, I believe it was March the 31st, or it may have been March the 1st. There was a date specific, and those people that were retiring in April, June, and I think one as far up as September, were to be paid out of a different line from that date forward, and that money on those employees from January 1st till March went right in the same budget line, but the line from, and you might help me with this, gentleman, if you remember, was it March the 31st or was it March the 1st? Those that were would be paid full staffing for that department at that point, and then everybody that was retiring from that point on, would, because their dates were already set, they were to be paid out of a different budget line. And that's the way I understood it, and I may be wrong, but I think that's the final conclusion that we come to.
I mean, I mean, specifically the conversation I remember is making sure that we start the year with the proper headcount in the budget so that going to next year that those salaries are already out of that budget. And so we set the staffing levels. For example, I'm trying to think what department is an easy department to discuss. I think it was Buildings and Grounds. We eliminated one position out of that department. So we took salary of one person out of that line, out of that budget, and that was supposed to be paid out of that special line. Now, granted, we didn't know, we already started the fiscal year, so we knew that, but what we were trying to do is set the right levels of the budget per department so that we didn't have to go through and have the same conversations with, we're cutting your budget again, which we already had cut. I know the early retirement, the challenge was the program that we had for the retiring individuals, we didn't know until after the budget was set. So that was going to be, I knew, a challenge from a dollar figure perspective.
I've had at least one elected official ask me if the amounts that were paid out for the early retirement should have came out of their account too. And I mean, if you guys will give us direction, we'll figure on those and do that. But it would be simplest if we figured an amount and then took that amount from that line going forward rather than going backwards, I think.
Well, our problem with those who voluntarily accepted early retirement is that I don't know that elected officials allowed those positions to dissolve because of attrition. They, in fact, replaced them. So they would be over budget based upon that if it's allowed within their budget. That was a decision of the elected official to do that, not this commission. And I think that it should be reflected there. On the other hand, the other retirement that was not of their own volition, that was involuntary, that were decisions that were made by us, as we balanced the budget at the beginning of the year, we clearly told each department head that we had set up another line and that would not be reflected in their budget. That's my remembrance of it.
I'm totally aware of that, but it was date specific.
Right. I don't care if we go back and hand figure, however we do that, calculate what that was and just move it from one line to another. Or if we choose another employee, as long as that amount per office
is taken care
is
of,
hit
that makes sense
before
to make
the
it.
End of the year, and that helps to make and portray an accurate budget of what was approved by the commission. That's my reasoning for asking that.
One of the things I'm as we go about trying to figure that, what we need to know is which ones do we consider in that particular area for each department? Because we have some that left, not because of budget constraints or whatever, and some that left for other reasons. So I need a list from you all of which ones we need to do that with. And,
well, specifically, we had that at the first of the year because we knew they were no longer included in the budget, if I'm not mistaken, when the budget was approved.
Right.
We knew specifically, because it was given to us by the elected official, who those employees were that were no longer going to be here. Now, we can go back and do our notes, I guess. But it would be very easy just to check and see who was no longer. I mean, we know who those positions were. Mm-hmm. Easiest way to reconfigure that.
Let me check with Don and see what kind of things we have as far as I think I have that in a couple departments, but I think there's one department that I didn't have anything from, and that department has hired back two or three, and so I don't know what's been okay, what hasn't been okay, and to that effect. So, and I will then email that the questions that I have to you guys.
Well, I can assure you at budget time, we're going to take a look at how many positions were allowed at the end of budget time and how many positions they have now and different departments. There was no approval from this commission aside from the approval that was given last week for any additional employees, to the best of my knowledge.
So that one for the prosecuting attorney. We had one.
You're correct.
One for that prosecuting attorney, and then the four we had last week, but they had matching revenues, and that was the only approval of additional headcount.
But there are some departments that have people leave and are replaced, a couple of departments anyway, relatively frequently. So I know what you're – it's hard to track.
Right.
Yeah, it's very hard to track some of those.
One other question, and it's spurred by the email that you sent out regarding a particular office who had given increases within that office in 2009.
I believe that's right.
And those increases were effective after the county commission had refused any increases. So those increases were awarded then through a different fund, a special fund that that officer had. And yet, in this budget, I said 2009. I think it was 2010.
I think 2009, Ron. I really
don't
know.
I don't remember. Okay. Actually, no. It was.
But anyway, you have the scenario right. Maybe not the dates right. You have the
scenario. So here we are this year. Those increases that were granted that were being paid out of another fund apparently haven't been withheld out of another fund or submitted to us. My suggestion is that you do what you did before and take those out of the special fund until you hit that amount.
What we did before was we requested from that particular department that we'd be able to do a transfer out of that fund, and they would have to sign off on that, I think, before I could do that.
Well, I would suggest perhaps doing that again. Otherwise,
you requested that.
Okay. Otherwise, we're awarding an increase that was not approved by this commission.
I think
not
I sent,
this commission, but a prior commission.
I think I sent you copies of my request to that through email.
I obviously didn't read it all. At the end of that stated that I was...
You may have, and I just may not have made sense, Ron, very likely. So
I'll go back and review that. And, my apologies.
But I did request that, yes.
Ron.
Yes, sir.
I kind of got out. We got to discussing several things from your initial question. Your initial question was that you didn't see that fund in the budget.
I didn't see that the monies were being taken from the line that we designated for that purpose.
Okay. I misunderstood your question. I thought you said you didn't see the fund line item in
there. No, it's there.
Huh?
It's there. It's we there. Just haven't taken anything from it, Andy.
Right. That's, I just wanted to clear that up because we kind of got talking about two or three things at the same time.
Questions for Rick? Thank you, sir.
Guys, you do need to watch, in particular, the transfer station fund. If you look at the cash flows in that particular fund, it's something you need to look at. Maybe we need to be looking at our rates, I think. I don't know.
Yep. I'm making a note of that, Rick.
Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You I would like you to stand by. We're looking at the Hurlburt Auditing Services Agreement. Mm-hmm. Is that next?
Yes. I believe we've awarded the bid, but we didn't authorize signature of the contract, waiting the approval, things like that.
It's been reviewed by our attorney.
And I have in hand the approval from counsel. And, Rick, have you also gone through this?
Actually, Mr. Cotty and I talked about it, yes.
So I'll move that we authorize
signature
of the Hurlburt contract as presented and reviewed.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to authorize the signature of presiding commissioner on the agreement with Hurlburt Auditing to do our outside audit. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Nikki, can I borrow you up here for just a second? Thank you, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I see the signature page here with the auditor. Is this also the signature page? Solid Waste Management Resolutions.
Motion to authorize signature.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to explain. Our prior resolution had the name of Eddie Coxey as an alternate. It is now Scott Starrett. And in order for him to vote as an alternate, we need to submit the resolution.
They're having that like that happen.
Yeah, so you made the motion to authorize?
Yes, authorize.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the resolution for the appointment of a representative of the Southwest Missouri Solid Waste Management District Council.
There is actually two.
And
what was the other one, maybe?
It's the executive board.
Let me go through those then. The first is for the appointment to the Southwest Missouri Solid Waste Management District Council. That would be appointing Danny Strahan and Jim Strafus to represent Taney County and to appoint Scott Starrett as the alternate. Second is to the appointment of a representative of the Southwest Missouri Solid Waste Management District Executive Board. Now, let me back up on the motion that's already on the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the resolution for the appointment of a representative to the Southwest Missouri Solid Waste Management District Executive Board. That would be appointing Dan Strahan to represent Taney County on that board with Scott Sterrett as the alternate.
Also moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Would you prefer that I second that motion?
Yes.
I will second that motion. Let the record show that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. State and Local Emergency Management Consultant Contract for the Flood Buyout Program. I see that Frank Cotty
has reviewed. Mm-hmm. Motion to authorize Commissioner Housen to sign all the necessary documents with the State and Local Government Contract.
That first.
Okay, headed your way.
I read that before, but I didn't quite understand. I might have you gentlemen try to explain that to me.
We actually have already awarded the bid to this individual. We just had not entered into the legal contract with him for the bids and the bid specs as was presented.
The second
and
phase?
That's what this is a follow-up to.
That's like the second phase, is it not?
Right.
Right. The first phase, we had already executed that document, and they got us to meet the deadlines for the federal buyout program, but this is the second phase of that program that we had not had a contract for.
We went out for bid. And
correct.
We got the bid in, and the reason we had to go out for bid is because the dollar value was more than the $6,000, which was allowed.
Right.
And that person, excuse me for not remembering his name.
Vicky.
Yeah. But anyway, this is just a follow-up for him to proceed with that and the parts of the agreement to where the county didn't have any money involvement in the thing was part of the contract that we're approving here. The 75% of the...
of that.
Right. 75% of this was to be put up reimbursement from FEMA.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to pursue those reimbursements.
So 75% of the dollars. The county doesn't have any of the 25%.
Correct. We have no
requirement. All right. I just wanted to make sure that that was made note of record there. So did you make a motion, Jim?
I did.
And I'll second the motion then.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the SLEMC contract with State and Local Emergency Management Consultants for services in connection with the Flood Buyout Program. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Is that just one signature, Ron?
Yeah. I have a question about the next item, which is the Memorandum of Agreement with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission.
That was put on there, Ron, but there was a representative from the Corps of Engineers that was here, and did you get the signature from him on approval?
No, because we have to send the actual agreement to him. I scanned it and sent it to him. So he has the agreement.
But we have no confirmation of his signature. They are the host provider. This is between us and Arkansas Fish and Game, but it has wrote in the statement, and you read it last time as we met, that by approval of the Corps of Engineers or...
It's the last statement on their letter.
And we haven't received that yet, Ron, to my understanding.
The letter from Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, last paragraph, regarding White River Minimum Flow Project, Bull Shoals Lake, which is Slough Hollow Road, states, after Taney County executes the Memorandum of Agreement and our project partnership agreement is signed with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission will be prepared to solicit bids and commence work on Slough Hollow Road when Bull Shoals Lake recedes to a level that allows construction to begin. That letter came from Dale Gunter from Arkansas Game and Fish.
So that's not the statement I was looking for, but that is that saying that once we sign it, then they will go out for bid? But it has to have approval from the Corps of Engineers.
It looks like what they're saying is once we sign it, they're going to start construction based off of flood levels or water levels in Bull Shoals.
What I interpret this to say is once we've signed it, they'll send it to the Corps of Engineers for their signature and approval. It says, after Taney County executes the Memorandum of Agreement and our project partnership agreement is signed with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, so they're not going to bypass the Corps.
Okay. And there was language specific to that, that the Corps had to sign off on something before this project would take place, and that's the reason I had been reluctant to.
Yeah, well, I think that clearly states that it has to be signed by Corps of Engineers.
All right.
There's a place in the Memorandum of Agreement where they have to sign.
Okay.
Give me just a second. Glenn Prophet with the Corps. And it has a place for all three signatures, Arkansas State and Game and Fish Commission, Taney County, and the United States Army Corps of Engineers. So it's clearly included in the agreement.
You sent that to Mark Case too, didn't you?
That's what this says, yes.
Okay. All right, I'm fine.
Motion to enter into the Memorandum of Agreement with the Arkansas Game and Fish and the U.S. Corps of Engineers regarding Slough Hollow Road.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve and allow the presiding commissioner to sign the Memorandum of Agreement between Arkansas State Game and Fish Commission and Taney County. I will also mention that this has been to our council, and he has approved same.
I do have something else. I'd like to make a matter of record on that, Ron.
Yes, sir.
In our meeting with those gentlemen as they came up here, we had a large discussion about the paving project on the KDOT, that they would, and so far have done so, held off on the paving of that dip at KDOT, and they were going to apply those funds after there was some fill put in there. Do you remember all that conversation? Okay. I see that not in this memorandum of understanding here. Do I need to approach Mark Case or someone about that?
Wasn't it in the other agreement, the KDOT agreement, though?
You know, I don't know, Jim, if it was in there about Arkansas Fish and Game supplying the funds for that.
I don't remember. We probably need to pull the agreement.
We might just send a note to Mark Case and ask him.
It says, raise the finished grade of compacted aggregate base of the identified segment of Slough Hollow Road to a finished grade elevation of 664. Using compacted shot rock fill with a final 8-inch lift of compacted Class 7 aggregate base. That is one of the stipulations that Arkansas Game Fish Compensation has agreed to do. So is that what you're...
That is one of the...
But you're asking who's providing that material is what you're asking, Danny. Is that what you're saying? And Ron, I don't think the agreement said who's providing that material. Is it, or is it?
It says that they agree that they will raise the finished grade of compacted aggregate base of the identified segment of Slough Hollow Road to a finished. I think that it does state that.
Okay, there was.
The county agrees. Okay, access. We grant AGFC and its agents, employees, and staff permission to obtain fill material by over-excavating parallel to the roadway on the northeast side of the identified segment of Slough Hollow Road and by generating fill in low areas at each end of any rock cuts. We're saying that they can do that, which obviously means, in my opinion, they are. And permission to place fill material along the identified segment of Slough Hollow Road, including without limitation on the southwest side of the roadway, for the purposes set forth herein.
There was also.
And then to immediately hard surface the road.
Right. There were stipulations about in what they brought forward, and that's the reason I would like to them for them to have referred back to their plans that they brought to us, because there's a big replacement culvert in that.
Right.
And I didn't see anywhere where it said that in there. I looked over some of that, and like I said, I was mainly relying on the agreement with the Corps to protect us on that. It doesn't say that I've seen anywhere in there where it reflects back to the plans that they brought forth and showed us as we set elevations that day for agreement. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping Mark would have signed off on that before we did.
See specifically what you've mentioned.
Well, Ron, could we refer back to, or either make a note, side note, to attach it to this and send when we send it to them about conversations that we had. We had negotiating conversations with them when we were in here that day.
Mm-hmm.
There was even a different, that's a different level than they brought forward, because they had 3 foot raise and we talked about a 5 foot.
Is that the wrong? At that level, I don't remember if that's the right level or not. I guess my question is, this goes from here to the core, correct?
I'd say.
And if it goes to the core and Mark Hayes doesn't like it, he just won't sign it. He'll mark it up and we'll start over again. So, but I'm without pulling those tapes, you know, remember, because didn't we have Travis, I wouldn't say testify, but tell us the different options he gave us, those
flood levels
of
right
percent floodable,
right. And we didn't settle on what they presented. We settled on,
is that 64 what we agreed to?
I don't know if that's the right number or not.
So what would you rather do, not sign this and go pull the audio?
I would like to not sign it. I would like to either pull it and listen to it and see what the stipulations are, and somewhere have a side note on there that we would follow the stipulations that were set by the Haney County Commission.
Well, then I would say that we just have Nikki, you're going to try to find the audio tape and listen and hear. I mean, the biggest thing I'm hearing is the elevation.
Do you know approximately when?
No, but Randy will know. He was here during all that.
Travis Heyer will know also.
Okay.
Maybe it would just be in our best interest to place a call to him and chat about this.
Yeah.
Prior to sending it.
Call to Travis? Or Travis, these guys?
To Mark Case?
Mark, yes. Mr. Gunner.
I mean, the other thing is, I just want to make sure we. Travis will know the elevation we're supposed to be trying to get to. I know that because we agreed to it and he made a note of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure that number is the same number in that.
There was discussion. Remember, they thought 3 foot was 5 foot.
We were going back and forth. I remember that. So we didn't vote just now, did we, Lynn?
Oh, what we do have though is a motion and a second on the floor to approve this memorandum.
I withdraw my second.
All right. Well, then I'll withdraw my motion, and then what we need.
I'll withdraw my signature.
Have you already signed?
Hold on to this.
Yes, hold on. And just double check that. That's probably the number one thing I'm looking for is that.
Is it possible to rework this back into Thursday, or should we wait till Monday?
This is back posted for Thursday. It should take a couple minutes if we can get the data from Travis.
You're making note on that for Thursday. Okay.
Danny, any benefit of having Travis look over the agreement?
Yeah.
And just say, Travis, is this what we agreed to in the meeting? Because he's the engineer on the job.
Right.
So.
Motion and second for approval have been withdrawn. Issue will be reposted for this Thursday. Personal property refunds and abatements. Good morning, ladies.
Nikki.
Just have one of you.
Where's the picture that all that information?
Yeah, she's got all
the information versus mine,
Mr. Well, we are agendized to discuss personal property refunds and or abatements. And if we have a list of abatements, then we need to go through those, I am assuming.
So you just want the personal property information then?
Do we have abatements for real estate and personal property?
We do. But it's my understanding where we're also supposed to discuss whether or not the commission was to be making adjustments on real estate. You want us to go into that discussion?
Absolutely.
Okay. Christy was very diligent while I was gone and sent you several emails. Mm-hmm. And basically the commission can, as well as the Board of Equalization, make adjustments for for erroneous errors, clerical errors, or double assessments, but cannot review the issue of valuation issues, misclassification, and the commission also cannot deal with occupancy law changes. They don't have the authority. Only the Board of Equalization has the authority for occupancy law.
Wait, say that again. What the commission does not have authority over is classification.
Classification changes. If you'd like me, I can just read that piece to you.
Well, just summarize. Okay. I think I've got Christie's here.
Right.
I got the email up on the computer here. So
neither the Board of Equalization or the commission should be dealing with valuation issues or allegations of misclassifications. Only with erroneous errors.
Clerical errors
or double assessments.
So no misclassification, no valuation discussions, either BOA or the commission shouldn't be talking about it because that time has passed.
Right.
Okay.
And then in a memo.
Would you explain to me misclassification? I'm sorry.
Classification between whether it's residential, agriculture, or commercial.
So we're talking about real estate, obviously. Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
How about exempt, non-exempt? Is that classification? Is that not classification?
We didn't ask specifically that question.
James, what do you think?
When I read this here, this is the properties that's been valued by the BOE.
That is for valuations that
has been valued by the BOE. We've got a major issue, and you guys have a major issue. You adopted occupancy.
Right.
Now that I've applied occupancy, we tend to say, no, the BOE has to approve it. That is not the case. We have millions of dollars involved here of applied occupancy that is laying over here that's not going to get a tax bill printed, even though you have adopted it. And unless a BOE comes in and hears it, that's not what the state has told me. The state says the only appeal the taxpayer has is to pay under protest and go before the BOE the following year on occupancy. The reason this is so important is during this occupancy, we've removed burned houses, we've removed flooded houses, we've done everything that is right to do for the taxpayer. But in the process, we have to go to the other side and add these houses as they're being applied to the tax rolls, and I don't care who has to approve it. The law is the law. They should receive a tax bill. I don't care if the BOE has to approve it or this county commission. The BOE didn't hear it, so I don't believe this statement here is even concerning to the occupancy.
And that's the memo, right?
And I don't care who has sent the memo. When you adopt it, that says this count, the BOE didn't adopt occupancy. The county commission adopted occupancy. So I believe the county commission should approve these add-ons in real estate. Otherwise, we've got millions of dollars out there that's not going to be even get a tax bill. Here we are in October. We've been running these things on all year.
And so help me out here.
Okay.
Does the county commission have any right to approve anyway? The way I read it, it says you can put it on the books.
Right.
That's what it says.
Plain and simple. It's not being done that way. We don't have a tax bills created because we're waiting here on a BOE. These add-ons on here
is... This doesn't say anything about BOE.
I know.
This says that you have the authority,
yes, sir,
based upon the law, right, to place these on the books.
That's correct.
So if you place them on the books, they're on the books.
The assessor or the Board of Equalization.
Right.
They're sitting over here.
Am I assuming
that these are all sitting in your office, not being run on right now?
We're waiting for the Board of Equalization.
It says the assessor, and if the assessor...
The assessor or the Board of Equalization.
And here stands the assessor, and are you wanting to put them on? Put them on.
The assessor can put them on all day long prior to the books being closed.
Pardon?
There won't be a tax bill run.
For purposes of figuring the tax due on such newly constructed residential property, the assessor or the Board of Equalization shall place the full amount of the assessed valuation on the tax book upon the first day of the month following occupancy. If you put them on the book, that's it. They go into the book.
Right.
So does it...
The assessor doesn't have access to the book, Mr. Hausman. Once the book is closed, he closes his book. It's no longer the assessor's book.
I wonder who wrote this law.
It
does say it's in effect.
I can clarify whether the assessor can go into the tax book and make those changes, or whether it's the secretary for the Board of Equalization after the Board of Equalization makes that decision. Clearly, it does say that the Board of Equalization can make the decision. We can call the Board of Equalization to order. They can make the motion just as the county commission can today.
I'm at a loss, Donna.
Okay.
You're saying the Board of Equalization has the authority to do this, and then you would do it as the secretary of the board?
After the board's made the decision, yes.
I understand. But the law says the assessor can do it. That's pretty clear. Or the Board of Equalization.
May I read this into the record? As to the occupancy law changes, section 137.082.7, I'm sorry, did you say you did not want me to read that?
No, I took a breath when you asked and then you began reading. I have been reading that. If for some reason you'd like to have that in the record, I'd be delighted to have it in the record. Would you like to read it into the record?
Or you can, sir.
No, go right ahead.
Okay. As to the occupancy law changes, section 137.082.7, state in part, for purposes of figuring the tax due on such newly constructed residential property, the assessor or the Board of Equalization shall place the full amount of the assessed valuation on the tax book upon the first day of the month following occupancy. No authority is given to the County Commission to make such changes. So, as we have done with all changes ordered by the Board of Equalization, we will change the tax book once the Board of Equalization makes that decision.
I understand. And are you saying that you're refusing to do that if the assessor requests putting those on?
Since you're putting it in that way, I would have to clarify with Mr. Turley that the clerk has the authority as the secretary for the Board of Equalization to take that action
without the vote
of the Board of Equalization.
Again, if it said, if the language were different, it would be a different interpretation, at least for me. And certainly I'm not an attorney, but to me it clearly states that either the assessor or the Board of Equalization can do this. The County Commission cannot.
So then it is
your
viewpoint
that...
No, it looks like two bodies can put it on and one body can't touch it, and that's us. So if the assessor wants it on, I think it's on, based off the law.
And in the terminology in that statement, I've heard you read it several times, say the word tax book. It doesn't say a word about the assessment book.
It says on the tax book.
That's right.
So then we'll be opening the tax book to the assessor's office to do that.
That's what the law says that you've given us to put into the record. This is not personal. I'm trying to interpret what we're supposed to do.
Because the schools have to pay on this situation. And they're not going to pay just to remove stuff. They're paying to get stuff added back to the tax rolls as new construction.
I'm not understanding the schools. Help me out with that, James.
Okay. When we adopted occupancy, it made it legal to take off a burned house,
okay,
to prorate it, a flooded house, all these things. That's why this county commission adopted occupancy, was to be kind to the taxpayer. In the process, though, we have to change new construction rules of putting them on 30 days after they are completed, which the schools have to pay that portion of getting those put on and getting it collected. The schools pays that back into the funds. So the schools is not going to pay the occupancy ball just to remove everything. Their deal is they get money too involved whenever we add a new construction project. So the law is plain. It acts like we've got all these new homes hung up between the county clerk and the assessor's office. The assessor's done their part. They got to be added to the book and sent tax bills as this law has provided. I don't care who does it. And it's plain, there's no interpretation of a lawyer, a court, or anything needed on this law that's been read.
I don't have the actual statute. I believe this is Mr. Turley, Chief Counsel for the State Tax Commission's opinion. It might help us if we had the actual law.
And this is strictly why we don't ever get anything done, trying to get these things straightened out. We get to arguing about law every single solitary time instead of trying to get it straightened up for the taxpayer.
So this is the only statute for third-class counties and is an option for first-class counties.
That's
which
correct.
Apparently a previous commission opted to do, correct?
Yes, sir.
To alter the books after the board finishes its appeal process business and is used generally for add-ons, abatements, etc.
It's straightforward with no curves in it, but we want to put curves in it.
Table below shows which first-class counties use the county commission and which use the Board of Equalization when abating, deleting, and adding on assessments or correcting erroneous assessments.
In the way that I understand what you've read, that if the assessor asks the clerk or the secretary of the BOE to put that on, then it should be put on.
Yes,
sir. That's the way I understand what you've read. Ron.
Statute.
I'm sorry, Dan.
The way that I understand what you've read is that if the assessor or the Board of Equalization asks the secretary to put that on, then they're supposed to put it on.
And it may be that
the
way,
the assessor or the Board of Equalization.
My interpretation would have been different. My thinking would have been that if it was the Board of Equalization, then the secretary to the Board of Equalization would have done it. If it is, in fact, the assessor, then it's the county clerk, and the role is county clerk to do that. I know in olden days, referring back to abatements, the abatements were all handwritten on the tax collector's books, so that when someone came to pay their taxes, their new tax bill would equal what was printed out in hand on that tax book. Well, we've grown sophisticated that enough that we don't do it that way any longer here, and the computer has various software programs in place that allows this just to happen and basically circumvent a lot of the old handwritten things that we did. But how many properties are we talking about? And I'm sure that it would fluctuate on a...
I don't know how many, but we're talking about probably $3 to $5 million.
An assessed valuation?
Yes. If we find them, we're putting them on. I might put one on today if my guys find one.
Which one?
But we're paid to go back and find those also. We might find one today that had been occupied in April, which they would get a tax bill for the proration of the year, April through December.
Okay, help me just a little further.
Okay.
For my personal edification. In years past, if someone built a new home in July, for example, finished it in August, it didn't go on the rolls until the following year as new construction. But under occupancy that's now in place and has been accepted by this county, the assessor can place it on the books, or the Board of Equalization can place it on the books the following month following completion.
Right.
Is that stated?
That's correct.
Okay.
At a prorated basis for the year.
We do have.
So, in other words, when you say a prorated basis,
right,
if I finish a home that's done at the end of June, July,
okay,
it's prorated, the taxes are for the 5 months that are left?
Yes.
Okay.
It's fair. I was in a man's house yesterday that said he finished his house in January when we were third class and didn't receive a bill for 23 months. Didn't owe taxes for 23 months after the fact.
This is subsection 9, which is subsection 1-7, is the occupancy law. This is what it says, on or after the first day of July. Section that he is discussing in his document is for...
This is talking about improvements destroyed by natural disaster. And then this follows that, stating that after the 1st of July, the Board of Equalization shall perform such duties.
Well, I was just reading as any... This is this statute. That Mr. Turley provided was specifically occupancy as it relates to, looks like, natural disaster only, not anything else except
mean, specifically saying natural disaster throughout that statute that he gave us, which...
That's the problem in Joplin, Missouri today, and why the General Assembly has called into special session is to try to deal with this, because in the occupancy law, commercial properties were not addressed.
Yeah, but it specifically says residential.
Right. And that's
residential and natural disaster. It doesn't talk about it.
Okay, now, historically, help me out, Donna. Once the book leaves the assessor's hand, so to speak, and becomes under the jurisdiction of the county clerk, there are no changes that have been made by the assessor. There are requests for abatements. There are requests for any number of changes. I know in years past, those requests came to commission. Commission either accepted them or didn't accept them. And those changes were made to the tax books. We became a first-class county, and it looks like that changes were handled, correct me if I'm wrong, by BOE.
That's right.
And in reviewing Missouri law, it looks like we did an awful lot of BOE work that wasn't specifically included in Missouri law. And now we've reached a point where we are trying to reverse that, but under this new law, it appears to me clearly, in very simple language, at least as pointed out by the chief counsel for the state tax commission, that the assessor has the authority to do this, or the Board of Equalization.
And that surprises me. If you want to know the truth, it surprises me that she's read that and the word or is put in there. But I don't care how it happens. I want the people to receive their tax bills. I want it to be corrected. And it's something that we do on a daily basis, and it's got to be done. Or we've got to turn around and abate off all the decreases we give to the flood victims and to the fires and everything else.
Well, personally, I would like to handle abatements and not convene a Board of Equalization on a monthly basis to do that for abatements that can properly be brought before the County Commission and just handle it and not have to pull these individuals that have been appointed in from their workplace to do that. That's my druthers.
The whole reason we're having this discussion is just so it could just happen quicker and you guys can just handle it. And that's why we kind of went through this exercise, is because reconveying a BOE is just not convenient to all the board members. They want to be here and participate, and if something we can do internally, we just need to do it if we can.
May I suggest that when you have properties, unless we find some other law that's differing from this, and we'll bring this up in executive session today for council, that you present a list of properties that you want to place on the book the first month following occupancy, mm-hmm. as stated here, mm-hmm. provided to the county clerk. The county commission, it says, at least according to Randy Turley, we have no authority to make those changes. But that you would come and apprise us of what those changes are as a commission,
right.
and then move forward to do that. Just as if the BOE had made those changes and you did it as the Secretary of the Board. That would be my thinking on it is.
And correct. It's,
that way we'll have a record of it here, although he's clearly states we have no
authority
to do that. But we can make record of what those changes are. We can enter them into the record.
So that should be a faster process then.
I think it would be a lot faster process.
Faster, better.
Sheila, do you have some input that you would like to bring to us regarding this matter? You can come here if you like and sit, or up there.
Just one little note, but is the reason I just wanted to say something, but in regard to when your cutoff date is going to be on the changes, where I've talked to other counties that have the law, and some do it until the statements are mailed out, so that and some call that November 1st, we mail our statements, try to the third week in October. But once we mail the statements out, if I mail a statement out for $70, if that customer on real estate comes in and pays that statement before it is added on, that statement's paid for the year. You can't add another statement on at that time. So I wish everyone would come to an agreement, like when your cutoff date will be, like if it's, say, going to be November 1st or...
It would be November 1st because, well, no, it wouldn't. The first of the following months, December 1st.
Sheila has a great point.
I mean, it's true.
But I don't know that the law addresses that. And I don't know that it even gives us the authority to establish a cutoff, but we can all agree by consensus, unless it does allow us to.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I was reading and I didn't see it there, but you're exactly right, Sheila.
Are you talking about adding a bill on to a tax bill that's already been paid? There is a statute covering
that. No, I'm talking about
a deadline. A cutoff deadline. There's no way to deadline. It doesn't say we can do that, or it doesn't say we can't do it. It doesn't address it.
We run into kind of a danger of it not being right for you, not equal,
right.
Because if I mail, you understand, if I mail a tax bill out and if you hurry in and pay it, knowing that you've got a, then it's paid.
And that's happened in the past.
Yeah. And if your neighbor doesn't, then he's got an add-on.
I actually think that does away with that problem, the occupancy law. I don't think there's as near as much standing on paying on a vacant piece of ground if there's been a house put there and it's been missed. I believe the occupancy law actually covers that too.
Do you have a date that you think that you're going to mail out the 1st of November?
I have to look at the county. It's on a Monday. If everything goes well, we're running behind right now due to some situations, but the third week in October, I'd like to get some in and collected to get everything tested, at least those last few days of October.
See, I don't think this would be a big issue at all if the words were may, but the words in the law are not may, it's shall. And either the Board of Equalization or the assessor shall place that new construction on the books the following month. So I don't think we have any leeway. The law says we have to do this. Now, for all practical purposes and for what we have to do in tax billing, and given conflicting laws like you have just brought up, Sheila, wherein once that tax bill has gone out and been paid, it's done. Maybe it would be, for all practical purposes, we just don't. How can I best say that? We diligently pursue this up until when? October 1? Because you wouldn't put it on to the following month anyway, which would be November. And it would be taxes for 2 months instead of for 12. And it allows certainly the collector a little leeway in getting clean books.
Well, I hate to set a date specific.
I hate to, too, given the language of this law.
It doesn't say we can't. That's understanding of, we kind of all understand the timing. So.
Because, you know, if my guys happen to go out and find a house that was completed January 31st, or January, whatever, that many days, I'm sorry if I said something stupid there. But in January, and they find it here in the next week or two, do you waive that house and make everybody else pay their taxes?
Now wait just a minute and help me to further complicate this or to help muddy it up for me even further.
That's where.
If you find a house that was built in January or in February and you find it in September.
Right.
Do you put it on the books for all those months that you know completion date was, only for the month that you find it?
No, it's not finding, nothing to do with it. You can go back and use, it says in the statute, you can use a utility bill. You can use a phone bill. You can use whatever proof needed necessary to show occupancy date.
Okay.
So it covers the whole situation.
All right. Okay.
Let me throw one little thing in here. And when we was talking about if, so they're not given notice to go before the BOE in the summer. And
So what they, and you said they pay in a protest, they do. If you're added on late like this, then you have the option, and I'll try to, and James has given us a list of those so far that we're going to code the tax bill to pull it so that that original tax bill doesn't go out. Then when you guys get the add-on done, I can mail it there at the same time so this won't happen, what I was saying, one being paid, having two tax bills out there. If there's an increase and they've not been notified, they can pay under protest, then the state will look at it and make that ruling. That'll go in the protest account just like anything else, and they will look at the statute that allows that if they haven't been heard under protest, then they will be the first time they hear it, and they will make the ruling on it. That's my understanding, rather than hold it till next year and go to BOE and they rule on a past year's tax bill.
Wait, if somebody protests their taxes, don't they have 90 days to go to circuit court?
Not in this situation.
This is laid out for BOE to hear it the following year and the adjustments made from that.
Wow.
Isn't that right? Is that what the law says?
The problem with BOE hearing it the following year, when are they going to hear it?
Now, listen, we've got to remember.
I'm just asking.
We get so straight-lined on this, guys. We've adopted occupancy laws, which null and void many procedures we've been following.
Yeah.
And it puts a bitter taste in our mouth, but we've got to follow the law that we've adopted. And some of these things will have to be said. And I know it presents a problem to the collector with all this stuff in protest, that law.
So then if you're saying that, if you're making that statement that BOE is the only one to hear it, then in January, after these people have paid their taxes, they have the right to come before the Board of Equalization.
They have the right to come whenever the board is convened, which I believe is going to be in July, or unless we decide to do it sooner.
Right. And you want to remember, this is new construction. What percentage of new construction have we heard in the last 14 years since I've been assessor in the BOE? People don't argue their new construction generally, 1%, 2%. Now, they may argue about what day they occupy, but then that just goes back to proving. But as a general rule, you didn't hear no new construction this year in the BOE, one or two. You generally don't hear this new construction, and generally they'll be satisfied with the prorated tax bill.
Well, I think it's going to be a pain in the...
It is.
In the ear.
But... The law
for the way that the law is constructed.
The only way you can show any kind of presence of disaster is to adopt the other. You shall do both. You may not do one or the other. You shall do both. And I can see why.
What?
I understand why.
What I was wondering is as we're talking about this, and trying to figure out a date. Nobody wants to set a particular date, but you're going to have bills ready. Do you have bills ready that you mail out in a week's time for the entire county?
I mail them all the same day.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if we could say that it was that the week of November the 1st that you were going to send all the Taney County tax bills out to the public? At that point, James is through his authority, through this document, has ordered Donna to enter the abatements. You've got them in place. And we announce to the public, and it gets over the radio, and they all receive the message at the same time that your tax bill is coming out. Because how many times have I sat before this BOE, as we sit and as it is sitting in session, and heard people say, I didn't get a tax bill. I didn't get a tax bill. I got a tax bill, but it was the last week, and all this kind of stuff that comes before us, as we know. So wouldn't it be nice if we could get all the cooperation of you three, and then we could make the announcement to the public that you will be receiving your tax bill, and it go out all over the press, and then if they had any questions at that point, then they could come in and resolve
the
issue.
That would be a very good gesture, but you would be messing with the law. And I don't think you have
that right. We do, sir. When we mail out the tax statements, we notify the two newspapers, which one of them has already been to see me to see what date we're going to mail out because they want to do a story on it. I notify three radio stations and two newspapers, and I tell them the tax bills have been mailed out on this date and everything. And
I strictly said that, Sheila, from the point of what we hear during BOE from the public. The argument they make is that we
didn't receive it. We don't know about it. I've heard James come before on that podium and plead for people to look on top of the refrigerator or in the cabinet or anything else for their tax bill whenever that gets in the month of December. So it would be great if we could do that, if we could cooperative work together and get this
done. You're going to have several deals to deal with. This is a law in itself that you've adopted. It totally destroys the omitted property laws, and the omitted property laws will stand forward on any case. It also circumvents the collectors do not have to bill less than 30 days prior to due date.
So we've got several. With December 1st, you brought it forward in front of this county commission.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought, are you saying that that takes away that law that I can mail them a new tax bill?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it is in conflict with that law that you... There's several conflicts here, but that just because it's a conflict don't mean you don't have to implement the law.
Right.
Omitted property. I can find it at any time. I can find it any date, and it has to be put on the books as omitted property. Varmint. So that's all. I just don't agree that we've pitched those back, going to do personal properties. I'd be glad to get personal properties done here, but those have to, if... How are we going to get them a tax bill is my question. If the clerk is not sending them through...
My suggestion is if you have a list, according to this law,
right,
at least according to how I read what's in front of me,
right,
that has come to us from the Chief Counsel of the State Tax Commission, you shall present those and they shall go on the book.
That's correct. I believe.
And we have them here today. So...
You want to do them today? I have no objection.
I'll have to check with Sheila to see if we can even get in the book yet, where she normally lets us know when we can get into the book to make adjustments.
Well, if we approve them, then you find the date.
I get it in.
As soon as I get the tax bills printed, I print the bills and I balance them back to the books I'm charged, and then I tell Donna and she handles all the abatements.
So, we are working together.
The if in fact there are a number of these that are by, what's this called, occupancy, and we went in and made those changes in the books, it would have her print the corrected tax statement, wouldn't it, Sheila? Would that be?
I'll give her a list, Ron.
That'd be a better way to do it, or?
We work back and forth, and I give Sheila a list of everything that's coming. She pulls those bills so she doesn't mail them.
Sheila.
Right now, the book, the totals are printed, and as soon as the clerk certifies them with me, that's the totals I'm charged to collect. Then when we've got these new, the add-on bills, so the old bill, say $40 or whatever, will be abated, and I'll use that abatement, and then we'll have an add-on, and then I'll have the add-on. And that's what I'll be charged with. That's the way I'll balance back. I will not mail the list that James has given me, and I will pull them. I will not mail them. And you will be charging me when this add-on is done. You're charging me. You're adding it to the value of the book that I'll be charged with.
Well, you know, I understand how that worked with BOE. I'm real interested in, I guess it's the clerk that will do the charging, because it says very clearly county commission has no authority to do this. I was shocked.
Right. I didn't see it in section 7.
I didn't even read it until the last minute, and I happened to see it.
Actually, sometimes the assessor, in some counties, the assessor, he it depends on your program, how it's done. And sometimes when the assessor does it, it comes directly over to the collector, and she runs a report, and she's automatically charged. When it's the same, it's just how the program is.
Good. Shall we... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm going to jump the gun here. I've got to go to a funeral, but on the personal property, I just wanted to mention that my programmer does have it written if you want to. He's got the option on, so that he's written so that it will automatically, these abatements will not have to be pulled on personal property. But if you choose to do the other function, to have him abate them all at one time, rather than Christy individually have to do them, enter them in the computer. That's entirely up to you guys. Whatever you guys decide on that.
Well, we, personally, I don't care how you all do that. It's just we're going to pass on whatever you all present to us to correct.
Are you ready?
Unless you just absolutely want to go in and write on the tax book individually. I never had anyone that liked doing that.
Are you ready for her to present these to you?
Let's go through them. Is this the sheets that you have given us that I have a copy of here?
These would be the ones with the purple.
Do each of you have a copy of this?
I don't.
I do not. Is that,
let me see if there are multiple here.
Are they all personal?
Yes.
Every one of them?
Yes. They're all personal property. Most of them are wrong vehicle year, double assessments, there's a few of those.
I've seen those, and they are wrong vehicle year and so on and so forth. You present them, they're in our box up there.
They're all 09 and 10.
That's
the 08s are actually put into the BOE schedule, just because that's how it was done in the past, but...
And that's something we need to clarify. That was a motion that was made by the BOE. So if the commission is giving us direction to bring those third years to the commission, we are happy to do that. We're just following the previous policy that was set up.
That was for 2 years.
Yes, previous.
I've got two separate lists here. Which one am I looking at?
This is personal property.
The one that's purple?
Mm-hmm. All purple, okay.
Yes. What the other one?
Yes.
Has real estate, and it has the 2008 personal property. That would be the third year.
So just from the 2008 personal property, how would they go 3 years without the wrong year? I guess you can get 2 year tags, right? That's why we went 2 years in the past, right, Danny?
Yes.
So when you go to 3 year, how does that happen? Does that just mean that they've been driving incorrectly or possibly they parked the vehicle for a year? Is that right?
There's a thought.
And we were notified by statute that you could go back 3 years, but we adopted 2 years, and that's been that way ever since I've been here.
Third year went to the BOE.
The third year went to the BOE, and I would just soon leave it that way.
Well, that was a decision. But the BOE it was a decision made by the BOE.
Summer.
That's fine.
And the commission was members of the BOE, and so that's the way they want it.
The problem with that is that if you don't get them corrected, then they can't get their tags.
Right. So then we're holding all these 3 years, which they technically can go back 3 years on an error.
Yeah, it's all coming down from the Department of Revenue.
Yeah, the DMV is doing a better job making sure that their records and our records match.
That's right.
So they're being very picky and making sure the
years
are all correct.
Statute says we go 3 years, right?
Exactly.
I prefer we do it, then we don't have to mess with BOE.
I don't want to mess with BOE.
All right.
You that's fine with us.
So then can I do one sweeping motion to approve all
purples?
Purples, all purples on my sheet.
Would that be the third years also then?
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, are we in agreement that we want to abate all 3 years of the personal property?
Go ahead.
Does that sound all right with you guys?
Yeah.
So I'll move that we abate, as presented, personal property for 3 years. So 2010, 9, and 8.
I'll second the motion with just a little discussion.
Motion's been made and seconded to abate all personal property presented to us that's designated color-coded purple for a period of 3 years. Discussion.
We'll need to either make a motion or change in our current policy. I don't know that that's been done. But when we resume back into BOE, I guess we can do that, because we haven't done that in the past. It's never went to 3 years. So, am I right, Christy? We've never.
That's correct.
So we'll wait and do that, I guess, as a BOE session instead of as a commission.
You're wanting to go back 3 years, right?
We're going to approve 3 years.
Three years on this, but we haven't done it in the past.
Well, the reason why is because you guys have been meeting on a monthly basis. If we don't meet till July, these two, and we're just talking two.
Yes, you have, Danny. Prior to the BOE making that decision, the BOE was, since 2003, BOE has been doing all of it. when we became first-class county, we shifted to BOE handling everything. So the BOE was doing 3 years. And then we found the statute, I believe it was Mr. Paulson found it, or maybe Mr. Strahan, I'm not sure, found a statute where it said that the county commission could. So we just, so then the Board of Equalization said that the, with the commission members agreeing that the commission would be would do the first 2 years back and that the BOE would do the third year. I'm not sure why they did that. It was because there was some, I believe, Mr. Danny, you didn't really want us to do some 3 years, so you wanted to see it in BOE. And I don't know, there may be have been other people that wanted to see that 3 year.
There was three law changes, but one time they changed the law to where it's just 1 year that they could go back. Then they had to jump it back to three because the Department of Revenue had decided they was going to issue 2 year tags, and the 2 year tag law just exploded on everything. Yeah.
So we're fine with going, bringing all 3 years to the commission.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve all abatements as presented and designated in purple for a period of 3 years. More discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
You got a magic mark. Purple one.
Great. Well, I forgot my purple highlighter, so I can't help you.
We present that in as a matter of record and have it in our minutes. Is that the way we're going to do that?
Well, it won't be purple in the record. So
I know, but it'll be marked.
All right,
I can give her a list.
Okay.
Do you want to deal with the real estate today? Or do we need to repost?
Now, all of the green is real estate submitted by the assessor's office?
Correct.
Let's start there, if we may. Here we go.
You have valuation issues in there. You also have classification issues in there.
Right. These are all abatements, correct?
Correct.
Now, is this something we can do?
My question is...
Not all of them.
My question is... First one says Church Army exemption. So it wasn't exempted before and it's on the books? Is that...
That's what that... see, that's for 2010, Ron. So what has happened, we've exempted that for 11, and they had purchased it in 9, which should have probably been presented as a 2010 exemption also.
Did we hear the case in summer BOE?
In 2011, not in 2010.
Mm-hmm. The ones at the top of the page that aren't color-coded were all holdovers from BOE?
When you say holdovers, are these ones that were... that we're given the right to, in other words, BOE said, no, we're not going to grant you your request.
Or they did for 1 year, and then they said, we can't hear it for 2010 because we're dealing with 2011. You have to come back before regular BOE. Some of them just want penalties and interest removed, which the commission can do.
And I'm speaking specifically to the Church Army one.
Okay. But no, okay, I know, and that's... was my question. The others I can see are erroneous. It says erroneous assessments based on new evidence all the way down to a double assessed house.
Right.
Except your classification, you have a bunch of classifications on there.
Yeah, the N2 LLC where it says based on new evidence, they're actually changing the classification of that property.
No. That's what I read to you earlier, that they said classification was not...
I mean, I don't see how we have the authority to do that. That's what Randy Torrey wrote in his document, and in the statute that Christie had sent over.
Let me ask you a question. Says any taxpayer claiming that a county made an error or omission in determining taxes owed doesn't specify for what reason, may submit a written request for a refund of penalties, interest, or taxes to the county commission or governing body of the county. If the commission approves the refund, then such penalties, interest, or taxes shall be refunded as provided in subsection 6 of section 139.031, which I've copied off here as well. But what does that mean?
That means the commission can approve the abatement of penalties and interest for previous years.
Or taxes, it says. It says,
say it again.
Any taxpayer claiming that the county made an error or omission in determining taxes owed may submit a written request for a refund of penalties, interest, or taxes to the county commission.
May I read this section?
Subsection 2 doesn't speak to year, though, Christy, either current or past. That was in 52.240.
Yeah, but currently penalties and interest would be applied for 2011, so it has to be previous year.
Well, that's a very good point.
And I'm not fully confident of classification not being erroneous error. If we assumed that a motel was in business charging sales tax as a commercial property, but then we were presented new evidence to show by the health department and by the city that these were apartments used for residential living, I believe that is an erroneous error under anyone's definition.
But what if you assess my house and apply a commercial designation to it, assessment rather than residential?
That's correct.
That's an error.
It's an erroneous assessment.
Then you have the right as a taxpayer to come before the Board of Equalization to hear your case and charge that they should not be assessing you that way. But to just blanketly say that the assessor can come back later and make classification changes is opposite of what Mr. Turley has said. In his view, valuation issues and allegations of this is from June 22nd, is the email from Mr. Turley.
To us?
It's to me.
Okay, so
and it also is CC'd by Bart Titchener, Maureen.
I guess we don't have a copy of what you're reading, so that's why.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, you have had in the past, because I have forwarded all these emails to you in the past.
That'd be Maureen Monahan.
So it's not just the one person's opinion. This is the opinion of three people.
Go ahead. Read that.
Valuation issues, allegations of misclassifications are not an erroneous assessment question, but instead should have been appealed to the BOE, then to the State Tax Commission, in the time frame set by statute for the years in question.
So if your house gets assessed as business, it's not an erroneous assessment.
I need to go and argue it just like I would my valuation.
And the deal is, if it's a home and you get to BOE and they say no, you've got to go all through the procedure with the State Tax Commission.
But, Ron, we heard classification. Most of these are condos, and the documents attached to the back are from 2010. This is not current information for 2011.
I understand.
These were changed by the assessor's office based on the information they had at the time. I mean, we heard, how many condos did we hear? And we had to make a decision during BOE whether they were telling us the truth. And then you finally made a broad motion.
That there's a difference. I think that's where we get into our problems. There's a difference.
Yep.
This is evidence presented. Classification normally is an opinion. The condominiums has not even been cleared by the State Tax Commission as today on whether they're commercial or nightly rental or residential. That's an opinion. This has evidence behind it. That's a totally different situation.
Christie's going to get you case law on it.
You were talking about the hotel that is now doing monthly rental.
Right.
I don't know how that wouldn't be erroneous.
I don't either.
Because there's no way you'll know the use unless of every property unless you...
go in and try to rent a room.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think on that one, I don't know how that wouldn't be erroneous.
It's so, and it's substantiated...
because you're not changing the value.
...by the health department and by the city of Branson, right. Evidence. It isn't a question of whether it was or not. That's the problem.
My question is, when did this convert over to, why didn't they come through the summer BOE process?
We changed four of the motels, and then we didn't change the rest of them because we didn't have the evidence.
Okay.
And as a matter of...
we changed it after, or we haven't changed the...
we haven't changed it. We're just requesting it this time because the evidence was provided.
Okay.
That's from February 25th.
Okay. Would you like to hear this case law on it?
Can we just, would you bring it up here? Do you want to hear the whole thing? Or just can we just review it real fast here?
Yeah, just to let you know, this is from Bob Paulson. This was sent to my staff back in 2009. And it's from Randy Turley. Clearly, the statutory...
Can we review it up here? Can you just bring
it
up here?
I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, so we can read it.
Now, is that true case law? She said, use the word case law. If it's Bob Paulson's opinion, it wouldn't be a true case law.
I can't
while he's reviewing that, James, will you drop down to 1, 2, 3, your fourth one and your fifth one?
C. Rita Smith.
I was trying to say that without giving a name, but...
I'll say it. And that is, that's a mistake on our part.
That looks like an increase to me.
Huh?
They're both increases. If you look at those.
Yeah. Those are incorrect. I'll have to go through those. Ron, on those, I would, what I'm asking is for it to be set at the 2008 value as established by the Board of Equalization, even though the number, and I'll go back and set the numbers correct to their tax bill of 2008.
Done. Here you go.
I'm still not seeing what you mean by that.
See here, BOE decision in 2008, decreasing value never got changed on the assessor's side of the computer. So 2009 went by, and he just paid whatever the tower, his company paid the tax bill. And 2010, they paid the tax bill, and then he calls in and goes, wow, I shouldn't have, this is not what the BOE told me that I'd be paying. So I strictly just want to set those two properties at whatever the BOE decided in 2008, because we know the properties hadn't increased unless there's new construction or involved.
Okay, take a look at the third one down, Gregory and Stephanie.
Don't have a clue about that one.
The first group.
I don't know why penalties and interest is wrote on there.
That's the first group.
What did you read on the
this one.
Erroneous assessment?
Gregory and Stephanie Smith came before the Summer Board of Equalization. They marked other reason as their reason for appeal, and they put down penalties and interest, and they were told that they needed to come before the commission at a later date.
Okay, I didn't know what that was.
For 2008?
10. It's the third one down on the list.
So did they receive a reduction for 2011 assessment? Is that what this was? Chrissy? Do you remember?
I'll have to go look at the program. Let's see. Well, they have a beginning and ending, don't they?
They wouldn't be paying penalties, Anders.
Oh, for 2011.
For 2010. It says all properties, with the exception of the one listed above, have the real estate taxes paid by the mortgage company on our behalf. The above listed property has a mortgage with Reliance Bank. The payment of the real estate taxes are the responsibility of Stephanie and me, not the bank. In 2010, received all of the duplicate real estate property tax bills, but never received the real estate property tax bill for the property listed above. In May of 2011, it was discovered by the bank that the taxes on the above property had not been paid, which was an oversight on our part as we never received a tax bill. I then contacted the county assessor's office to request a copy of the bill and also to waive the interest and penalties. It was suggested that the real estate tax bill for the above property may have been included in the same envelope as one of the duplicates from the one of the other properties we own. I could not locate the tax bill. On June 6th of 2011, we presented a check to the assessor's office in the amount of $13,488.06, the original amount of the tax. The check was returned. It did not include the penalties and interest. I am asking the BOE to please look favorably upon my request to have the penalties and interest waived on this tax bill and consider the original amount of $13,488.06 to be the total amount due for the 2010 tax year.
If I've requested that, I withdraw it. I don't have nothing to do with the collection of taxes and the word
assessor.
You
did not request it. It was their request at summer.
Oh, then. And they have to do that to get the taxpayer has to request it to get you guys to hear it.
What's your suggestion on that particular one while we're here?
I don't know the information at all on it, Ron. This is the first time hearing.
Well,
And in their letter, they're talking about writing the assessor a tax bill.
Right. And again, the county is not responsible for a taxpayer not receiving their bill.
I don't.
They're responsible for knowing what property they own and paying their taxes.
When can I get that written?
Well, do you want it?
That's a process through the collector's office. It's not the.
I know. I don't even know why they mentioned the assessor, because they never write you a check.
Well, we would know that if he cashes them, would we?
Yeah.
Without seeming insensitive to what we're doing here, I would recommend that James review all this information that has been presented by the clerk's office. Christy, bring this back to us on Thursday and let us approve these in a lump sum manner.
I have a question about that. I thought these came from the assessor.
The first three didn't.
Okay, excluding the first three, I would say the first five. Then the rest, we've already approved the two that are highlighted in purple.
Yeah.
Below that are the semantics on whether or not there were mistakes that were made and what the interpretation is, obviously, from the State Tax Commission on what a mistake is or an erroneous assessment. Are you with me, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't have any objection to approving these abatements that are highlighted in green that are recommended for approval through the assessor's office to correct the books.
I don't either. Is there any of them, Jim, that you see that's classification or anything like that that we...
I mean, erroneous assessment based off the definition is really gray in this scenario. I mean, I would say that... that one bothers me a little bit. I don't understand. Which parcel is that?
Basically, what he said was... they did in 11, they purchased it in 09, it should have been for 2010 as well.
Yeah, I thought we heard this case. Let me pull this here.
They would have gotten an increased notice because their value would have been higher than it was the previous year. So they would have had an opportunity to come before the BOE.
But Church Army, I think they did.
I'm sorry, not Church Army, your classifications. Any of the, all of the classifications, they would have received an increased notice because the value would have been higher and they would have had an opportunity to come before BOE. I'm just letting you know the process.
Understand.
The Church Army, isn't this the building that is double purpose? That's why we had commercial residential.
This is over on T Highway, I think. Yeah.
This is the one we toiled over in 2009.
It's a school.
But
daycare.
The daycare is not available to the public.
Right.
Only for those, and that's based off the definition why they weren't 100% exempt. At least that's, remember, the argument. But that wasn't a unanimous decision. I just remember that. I remember that discussion now.
There were discussions. Sorry, the attorney gave them advice on how to set it up properly so that it could be exempt. I don't know whether they've done that or not.
I think the definition of the daycare, or how they said the daycare, was the question. So,
do you?
I can't support that exemption for Church Army. Not, it's just because the daycare, the exempt status has to be available for the majority of the public, and the daycare, when it was operated, was specifically for those people who they were helping, and it wasn't for the entire public or population, which is how the statute, I believe, reads on the exemption.
And we specifically put it to you because of the date of purchase. Okay. That's the only reason I put it back.
Gotcha.
You in agreement with that?
Yes, there was a big discussion about that one, Ron.
Okay.
There's two things, and I'm not even going to mention the other name of the business that was considered for exemption, and both those things were things that didn't even come to us this year. They came to us in 2009. And you'll notice back through this, a lot of this has our occupancy on this, these pages.
I'll make a motion to do that on all of these, with the exception of those that's in green.
Yeah, Church. Let me just read the abatement number.
Just read them off, Jim.
Okay. I'll leave that one off. Motion to approve abatements. Numbers 2, they all start with 2012, it looks like. And the last four digits are 0159, 0160. Here, hold on. Let me just make sure they're all concurrent and I can just go this way. Okay. So let's start the motion over again. 0159 through 0172, 0174, 0177, 0181, and 0182. That's every one of these, with the exception of that one, of the green. So not that one, but everything else, including these down here.
And I second the motion.
You're missing
Excuse
something.
Excuse me, you're missing something.
Yeah. You didn't print all the pages.
You can have mine.
We don't have all those pages.
Yeah, there's eight.
Huh. Well, there you go.
But that includes... Yeah.
Wow.
That includes...
Start bringing them
my occupancies.
and all that, and we can get it all here.
I only got two of those in my box upstairs, and I don't have that down here.
I don't either.
Wait a minute.
Okay, time out. I'm thinking about, I like Denny's idea again. I'm thinking Thursday's going to be cleaned it up. Because the occupancies, you're just going to handle.
Well, if you do it this way, then we won't.
No, they don't come. We don't have any permission. We don't have any
authority.
Authority to do those.
A lot of these occupancies. Split parcels and parcels split. It's just cleaning up the building.
We can't do them anyway, so we might as well wait till Thursday. Okay. We're holding to get.
Are you going to do that many that you named off?
Well, we can do those because we have those, and those all match up. If you want to do that way, or Danny, you just want to wait.
Well, what do you think, Christy? Would you have those off and you could clear them?
We can't change them in the tax book, like Donna said, so we might as well wait.
Okay.
Do them all at once. We can get with James's office and separate out the parcel occupancy and the others, make it easier for you.
I withdraw my second.
And the motion has officially been withdrawn.
You don't even have to make note of it. Let's repost this for...
Will Thursday be good, or do you want to wait for next Monday? Does it matter?
Thursday's fine. It doesn't matter to us because we can't do anything right now anyway.
We can't do anything until we get the book back.
No, so we can wait until you guys are ready.
Well, that's because I think Thursday was filling up. I remember Thursday was...
I'm saying it was.
Let's just repost for Monday.
Well, my suggestion is that we don't bring these first five back.
Well, if there anything with...
Just keep letting you know, a lot of these you've directed us to bring back. Mm-hmm. You've told the taxpayer to come back, so we're just trying to clean up.
Yeah, and Mr. Carl Smith has called several times wanting to know the status of your decision on
who?
Carl Smith. It'd be Rita Smith LLC.
We'll include them. We'll talk about them, but I'd like you to take a look at those.
I will. I'm in agreement that they got to change.
Yeah, it's an increase.
Well, you just get with the clerk's office and bring all this stuff back to us.
You want to pull the occupancy off.
And if there's any...
Those have to be... Here's my suggestion on the occupancy. You build a list for those changes. You give them to the county clerk. That way we have them separated. She can present them to us if we want to make a record of it, but we can't, at least according to what Turley said, not Turley...
Was it Turley?
Yes. I think it was.
When do you think we can get it done?
Here's
Thursday?
Well, the tax book's not in the bill.
I know, but we want to pay attention to the approval because a lot of this is add-ons.
Okay.
And we don't want to drag it out. With the abated properties, it's okay. But when we have the same person attacked, we'd like to have the authority.
Well, these add-ons, the collector's going to need to know, too, because she's going to pull them, right?
Right. There's a lot of them in there. So that's James. Why I wanted this to do.
James, I can have a little thing menu put on there to pull it down to say our parcel occupancy. So it'd be easy to have it print right on there.
Okay, you can get them
off. My recommendation is that they bring us forward this information for approval on next Monday, and that anything relevant to the statute or law that's not clarified between them be brought forward so that we can look it over and make a decision and clarify all this.
Excellent.
I agree.
Can we ask for a recess, sir? I'm not sure our 10 o'clock has been patient enough to wait 59 minutes, so it appears that they haven't, sir.
It appears they've left.
How much time do you want, sir? Well, I mean, we'll have them back over here. They're probably out in the hallway. 5 minutes? We'll stand in recess for 5 minutes.